Hello, beautiful souls.
We bring you conscious content filled with empowering information.
Designed to align you with the fulfilling freedom of activated awareness.
I am Rachel Alcyon.
And I am Daniel Alcyon.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Existence Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. We are wrapping up our amazing UK family adventure. You may have already joined us and found out what led us up to this point. If you didn't, make sure to go back and check out our adventures in Wales, Ireland, and Scotland, Iceland. And now we're currently in London. We are wrapping up our experience here in this lovely flat.
We leave bright and early tomorrow morning.
Like so early. We'll probably just have 2 hours of sleep before we got to get up and grab a cab to the airport. And the last few days in London have been amazing and super jam-packed with stuff.
But also really relaxing. Like, we got to just settle in and have our own space, you know, after being living on top of each other, basically, for the last 2 weeks. So it's felt really luxurious to be in this apartment and a really wonderful part of town. We're in Canary Wharf, and so we've gotten to, like, walk around Canary Wharf. It's beautiful.
When we left off with you in our last episode, we were still in Scotland. So our first destination that we planned once we returned back into England from Scotland is Alnwick Castle, which is actually spelled
Alnwick.
Alnwick.
But they don't pronounce their L's or their I or their
W's. Especially in the middle of a word.
Yeah, so it's Alnwick.
Alnwick Castle. And the reason we wanted to go here is because this is the site of some of the filming of the Harry Potter movies.
As well as Downton Abbey. I'm a huge Downton Abbey fan, so it was really cool to go to that site.
Yeah, the Downton Abbey, it was the dining hall, right? The, like, the prime dining hall.
Correct, and some of the exterior as well.
Yeah.
And the grounds, the gardens were there.
And then for Harry Potter, this is where young Potter first learned to fly a broom. All around the outside courtyards, and there were several other scenes filmed there. So that was pretty cool to be able to see and stand at this place. The girls are pretty big Harry Potter fans, and so that was exciting. They got to share that with their friends, where all their friends were, like, super jelly. And then after that, we continued heading south. We made a destination that was important to me. That was the Angel of the North sculpture by Antony Gormley. And it is massive. If you're unfamiliar with Angel of the North, look it up. It's a humongous humanoid figure, this giant metal figure with airplane wings. So there's, like, massive airplane wings, and it's huge, massive, on the side of this hill in this park, and you see it from the motorway. So it's pretty incredible. It's a bit of a monument to some of the mining communities there and some of the people that had died in the mines. And it's a really uplifting thing to see, this kind of symbol of a human body ready to take flight with wings. So.
I had a really romantic notion of what Nottingham and Sherwood Forest would be, you know. I was, like, super into the whole Robin Hood thing and thought it'd be quaint and that there'd be all these sort of people dressed in period pieces and...
Oh, the village of Nottinghamshire.
Yeah, and so we really made a huge rush to get down there. In fact, forfeiting a really cool dragon tour that Merritt really wanted to do because we thought we just, you know, there's so much to do and we wanted to cram it all in. And so, yeah, she graciously forfeited her dragon tour experience to...
We're giving you the... Was it great? We're giving you the benefit of the doubt, dude.
Yeah, to get down to Nottingham, and it turns out it's just, like, a grimy city.
Nottingham, total bust.
Yeah. So there wasn't anything cool Robin Hood to do that we were able to find. And so we just basically drove through Nottingham and then got the heck out of there.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. And so we headed on just further down. Our goal was to get as close as we could to where we were going to return this RV. And we just posted up. We found a spot on the side of the road in a total industrial complex where there was a whole line of other truckers just parked for the night. We just took our spot in line and There's even an ambulance, like a paramedic was sleeping it off, and it was a fine place to be. Well, then the next day, it was time to finally return our RV. And before that, we have to leave it spick and span, all clean.
Yep, no gray water, no black water, everything cleaned, wiped down.
And part of this meant the black water is our toilet tank, our toilet storage tank. And we weren't at a facility because we camped on the side of the road. And so we had to empty it somewhere. And Rachel and Merritt had the awesome job of taking this tank to go empty it out in a convenience station.
Yeah, and Merritt wanted to document the whole thing, so she videotaped it, and it was hilarious. Her skills.
Her cinematography, her documentary cinematography is really good.
It's really good.
Right?
Okay. Still rolling?
Rolling. Here we go. This is the glamorous job.
The most beautiful part
of the poop.
The best part ever.
Put a little bit of that right there. And that can go right there.
Ooh.
Oh my god. How are you doing, Merritt?
Grossed out. Oh, so gross.
Yeah, you feel pretty violated when interacting with this kind of thing.
And you're just smiling during doing it. So weird. Still going.
Oh, it's the chunks that really gross me out.
Oh, I was sick.
Okay. Now you get the idea.
So she followed me around while I'm rushing, carrying this thing in. We get into the bathroom. We dump it out. It's, all the gory details are there, so we will provide a link so you can see that video. It's pretty hilarious.
Oh, man, it's hilarious. So, no harm was done. No damage was done. No convenience or bathrooms were harmed in any way. It was just poured directly into the toilet, and it's just a funny deal to have to deal with your own poop, because most people don't.
Yeah, like living in a city, or if you're on septic, or if you're on city sewage, you know, you just flush the toilet, you never think about it ever again. Whereas, like, we live on our yacht, so once a week Daniel pumps the poo. That's the job he's decided to take on, and I'm so grateful that he does. So, we're intimately aware of how much waste we produce and then, like, what you do with that. But even in this situation, it brought in an even deeper level of intimacy because, I mean, you could really only go to the bathroom a handful of times before the tank needed to be emptied, so.
Yeah, and if you're really traveling, you either needed to find a place with the facilities, like an actual campsite, or do what Rachel and Merritt did and, like, swallow your pride and just carry a plastic box of your own waste into a gas station bathroom and take care of it.
We went into a McDonald's once too. That was pretty hilarious. And also felt really gross because it was like we're around all this really gross food and we're bringing poo into but it was just a whole it was intense. So yeah, then we returned the RV, everything checked out okay, you know, they said they'd get back to us about the mirror, and...
Right, because if you missed it, we blew out the passenger side mirror as we were heading into Wales on a little tiny road, so you'll want to hear that adventure on the Wales episode. So yeah, we, took the tube to the train, to the walking for a couple miles to our flat, and then just crashed out.
Yep. And, you know, we were able to all practice self-care. I mean, I had, like, hours of I took a bath. I scrubbed myself. I tended to all my physical needs. Everybody got to have their space. You know, Liberty was, like, she had her own room for the first time and was, like, making all these really amazing music videos. And Merritt got to watch some cartoons. It was awesome. And then we went out for a family dinner.
Yeah, checked out Canary Wharf, which is really nice. You know, walking along the River Thames, which I got scolded by some Brits and said, it's the River Thames.
You idiot.
I'm like, oh, of course I would know that by looking at the word T-H-A-M-E-S. Right. I would think it was Thames, of course.
Right.
So the Thames River Walk, really cool. The River Thames is amazing because it's a tidal river, and so it actually has high and low tides on this river. And then I guess they really have a lot of their transportation system built around here, and this is like the river that established London as a trading superpower, historically. And so the travel times on the river even vary dramatically, because if the tide's going out, and you're going with the flow of the river, and the tide's going out, you get an extra little boost. And then if you're going upstream as the tide's going out, it's like extra slow. So it's kind of funny to have a tidal river, but really cool. So the next day, we headed towards the Tower of London. And on the way, we found a park with this some amazing street food. There was some rad vegan street food there.
Yeah, and we were sitting right under the Tower Bridge, yeah. Which just looks like a fairy tale. I mean, it's... Yeah, it's the iconic London Bridge. Well, not the London Bridge, but the one that you think of when you see a cityscape of London. And
see, I gotta say, I didn't know that Tower Bridge was that bridge. When I would even hear the London Bridge is Falling Down song...
Oh, you picture that bridge.
That bridge. That's the bridge.
Right. It looks like Disneyland or something.
Yeah, but...
That's Tower Bridge.
London Bridge...
Is weak sauce.
Is a total bust. London Bridge is nothing. It is, like, just a road. It doesn't even have, like, ornamental handrails.
It says London Bridge on the bottom of it in literally 0.12 font.
Right.
Liberty was walking around and she was like, this garbage can has more visual interest than London Bridge.
Yeah.
And it really did. So, London Bridge, bust. Nottingham, bust.
But we got to go to the Tower of London, which is super cool. You know, it's where all of the drama that we know of went down. It's like, that's where Queen Elizabeth was, and Anne Boleyn was beheaded there, and King Henry, and all of those really prominent historical figures. And we got to see the crown jewels, so that was amazing.
Yeah, and it is said that the Tower of London is thought to be the most popular tourist attraction on the planet. Like, more people go to the Tower of London each year than any other singular place. So, check that off the list. We did it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and we got to meet the second ever female Beefeater. It's a really prestigious job, and you have to have, I think, 21 or 22 years of military service, and I think be retired as something high up in the military to be even qualified for this job. And basically you protect the crown jewels, you protect the royalty that was there, and it's always been a man's world. So it wasn't until, like, I think 2000 that the first female became a Beefeater. And so, yeah, we met the second ever, and she got it in 2012 or 2007, something like that. So
yeah, we got a photo with her.
Yeah, that was really cool. It felt, like a historical treasure.
And she was kind of neat too, because at first it was like closing. They were closing the Tower of London, and so she was like hustling everyone along. She's like, okay, closing, move along. And then Rachel recognizes, like, oh my gosh, this is a woman that is in a traditionally man's job, and so asked if we could take a photo with her, and she just softened. She like softened and lightened up and like popped a smile for the photo.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty cool. In the Tower of London there, they have these giant life-sized wire animals. There's like some lions and even an elephant. And
some baboons. And...
Yeah. And so they're really wonderfully done sculptures. They're made of like chicken wire or something, but they're so lifelike. They're amazingly lifelike. And that's because the royalty, way back in the day, would have a zoo, right? They would need to display their wealth by showing all the exotic animals that they had collected from around the world. And so there was this sign, this placard made that was, it said something like, there was the decree from one of the kings, I think from King Henry. And it's like, there shall be made one pen with which to contain an elephant, and it shall be 20 feet by 40 feet. And so, like, 20 feet by 40 feet for an elephant? That's just a prison cell.
Yeah, it's really small.
Could barely even turn around. And so I thought these wire animals, it was kind of interesting that they did it that way, because yes, it would show like what they used to have, but it also kind of gave perspective to like the size and scope of this giant elephant in this tiny little cage, and what a horrible life that would have been. So
yeah, it's really a tribute to them.
It's kind of grieving a little bit for those animals.
Well, and then we got to walk around London some more. We went through Borough Market, which I just felt it was so cool because it was right by the Globe Theatre, which is where Shakespeare did all of his plays. And so I loved thinking about, you know, Shakespeare maybe like walking through the market and getting an apple or something.
And some ale.
Yeah. And going on to the theatre. You know, and knowing that Queen Elizabeth went to the theatre. I have a real love affair with her. And so just, yeah, knowing that she walked some of those streets and touched some of the walls, and I get really swoony over it.
Yeah. We also went to the Tate Modern Art Gallery.
Which, oh, so cool.
I think it's one of my my personal highlights in all of London. I loved it.
Well, and London does a cool thing because all of their art museums are free.
Art museums and galleries, all free. So Tate Modern is huge. It's so massive. It's like, I can't even
stories
really describe.
Stories and stories high.
It has different wings, too. There's like whole different wings and different floors and different levels. And there were a couple of the select exhibits that were for members, but the huge majority of it was open to the public. I mean, we saw works by so many of the world masters. We see like Monet and...
like Degas, the dancer, Picasso. Which that was the second time I've seen her. I think I saw her at the... I think I saw her in Paris before.
Yeah, and then there's some modern artists, too. There was a amazing installation room that just blew me away. It was called Babel, B-A-B-E-L, like the Tower of Babel. And this was one enormous room, and in it, the artists had assembled a tower of AM-FM radios. And it was probably like 40 feet tall, this big tower of radios. And the room was pretty dark. It wasn't lit. And so just the lights on the radios itself gave the glow. And every single radio was tuned to a little different channel. Some of them were kind of staticky. Some were, you know.
Yeah, coming in real time. So it wasn't recorded. It's like
classical music, like all across the spectrum of the radio frequency. And so it was just, it was really stunning. And you could just walk around it. And like every single place you stood, you heard a slight different mix of the different radios playing different channels. Yeah, it was, stunning and disorienting all at the same time.
Yeah, and then the next day we went to the British Museum, where I met up with some friends of mine, a dear sister of mine, Madrone, and her beloved Alexis.
They were visiting from Flagstaff, Arizona. Yeah.
Yep, so it was really synchronistic that they happened to be there at the same time, and so we got to go out to lunch as a family. You know, we happened to bump into them in the museum. We had already scheduled that we were going to meet after we went to the museum and do it on our own time, but yeah, it was pretty cool that we bumped into them there with, like, thousands of people. I mean, it was packed museum. So,
and which, speak about cool museums, that British Museum, you know, at first we didn't budget ourselves much time. We're like, well, we can maybe have like 2 hours in the British Museum, and I'm like, okay, yeah, cool, we can just blow through it, check out all the exhibits. And the first room I even walked into, I was just like, oh no, I could spend 2 hours just in this room. It was all antique clockworks, just different like automatons and different clocks and timekeeping devices from antiquity, you know. Like, I guess I didn't even really think about these clockworks that would have been around in, like, 1300, you know? It was amazing.
Yeah, it was really, really cool.
We saw mummies.
Yep, yeah. And we had a wonderful time there, and then we walked down to Piccadilly Circus. We did some shopping. Liberty got some really cool clothes.
We checked out all the big attractions in that area of London, Trafalgar Square. Really cool statues, and that's a lovely area.
And Big Ben.
Yep.
Yeah, he's really beautiful. I was quite smitten with Big Ben as well.
Went to Westminster Abbey, which we didn't go inside. We saw the outside architecture and some of the doors and stuff. And I always like checking out the iconography around some of the doors. You know, there's like the 12 apostles. Mm-hmm. And
a lot of saints.
And as you look around, you'll see like different gargoyles and all these different symbolism embedded around the doorways. So we checked that out. Walked over to Buckingham Palace. The giant, like, kind of Neptune fountain out front.
Oh, it's gorgeous. There's mermaids all over it. And a big, huge sculpture of Queen Victoria. And then we got to see the guards marching around, and we saw the kind of changing of the guards. with their big furry hats, and one of them almost slipped. And they, like, wear these clogs. I think that almost they're, like, metal. They have, like, metal bottoms, and so I've actually seen quite a bit of footage of them slipping and falling all the time.
Yeah, like, British guard fails, that's a thing. If you look that up, like...
It's not practical.
No, no. They got those big top-heavy hats.
Well, and the thing is it's all for show, because there's those guys, and then standing, like, not too far away from those dudes are, like, the real cops.
With, like, machine guns.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, sitting there talking to each other, like, kind of casually, but the... You know, the typical British, like, toy soldier guard. It's just a big show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, and a good one.
Yeah. We watched that. Walked all the way through London. Took a beautiful bus. We had some dinner. And then we took this bus home. And to catch it, we had to sprint across, like, four lanes of traffic at night. It was pretty wild and hairy. And jumped right on the bus just in time.
Yeah.
And it was so interesting because walking home from that route on the bus, we really saw how... Where we got off at our bus stop, which is kind of near a train station as well, towards our little walk home, like, when we get off the bus, it's kind of a little sketchy area, you know? Like, your awareness perks up a little bit, and it's not, like, a horrible place or anything, but it's just a different energy. There's a real hustle bustle, you gotta keep your eye open, and there's some strange characters on the street, you know? And then two blocks away, you literally walk two blocks over, and it's real chill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people just riding bicycles, and, like, it's very quiet. And
everything's clean, and there's flower baskets, and really beautiful architecture, and streetlights that work.
Yeah. So two blocks makes a lot of difference in big cities. And then, it was this morning, we woke up, this is our very last day.
Yep.
And so this morning, first thing, we got up out of bed, and we headed to another famous Harry Potter site. Where'd we go, kids?
Platform 9 3/4.
Yeah, it's a real place.
It is a real place.
So for you Potter fans out there, there's an actual placard in King's Cross Station.
And we all got our photo taken, and you get to choose what scarf you wear for whatever house. And, you know, you get to choose if you want to have a wand, and yeah, it's super fun.
And I had this goal, because one of the poses you could do, you could either have the pose where you have one hand on the cart, you're pushing your luggage cart through the wall, right?
To go to Hogwarts.
To go to Hogwarts. And you can have one hand on the cart, and you could choose a wand and kind of point it up at the platform sign to get your photo taken. Or you could do a jump shot, so you could have both hands on the cart and do a little jump, like kind of kick yourself in the butt. And so I had my eye on it. Oh, I'm going to do that jump shot. This is cool. And I wanted to get full donkey kick horizontal, like just sideways, like just jump and leap my feet backwards so it looked like I was really getting pulled through the wall. But to get the photo to look like your scarf is really flying with some momentum, they have a scarf handler that, like, is holding your scarf.
It, like, waves your scarf.
Waving your scarf, and they go, 3, 2, 1, scarf. And she, like, throws your scarf in the air, and then the photographer takes the photo to get the motion. So I didn't want to donkey kick this lady. But I got some real amplitude. I got
they were all really impressed with how your photos turned out. It's funny.
And then, you know, you go into, like, the gift shop, Platform 93 Go to Gift Shop, and they show your photos up on this TV. And right when we walked in, it was like I had the mini celebrity status, because the guy that worked there was like, your photo is the best, sir.
Yeah, it was so funny, because I'm not even really, like, a Harry Potter fan. I haven't seen all the movies. I haven't read any of the books. I've just seen a couple of them, and I'm, like, I'd say mildly familiar, but I was, like, so excited. I, like, was, like, ridiculously excited to do this. Like, oh my god, we're gonna do it.
Yeah, and a bunch of my friends that are big Potter fans, they had the jellies too.
Yeah, so, like, oh, jealous. Then we went over to another Harry Potter site, which was the British Library. Oh man, they have so many amazing treasures there. They have a lot of old literature, you know, stuff written by Shakespeare, you know, a letter from Queen Elizabeth to her nephew, who was going to be taking over her throne.
All the way to things like handwritten songs from the Beatles.
Yeah.
Know, like the Beatles' original first handwritten, like, Let It Be.
You know? Original scores and music from Mozart and, you know, Talis and, I mean, just Debussy, so many amazing composers as well.
And the whole collection of religious books, religious texts.
Yeah, like the Bhagavad Gita.
Like Hindu texts and Islam, Muslim texts, all kinds of different things. Early pressings of the Bible. all just in beautiful bindings with the, you know, hand-done calligraphy and...
Yeah, and, like, the Gospel of John on old papyrus that's, like, falling apart, that's, like, one of the originals. It's super cool. I mean, yeah, the energy from all of that text is, like, whew, it's really profound.
Yeah, you know, one of those things, too, where you maybe think, like, okay, you know, like, the rare documents room, all right, you know, whatever. Yeah, but then you go in, and it's, like, really fascinating and engaging to even look at some of these things. And
yeah, and like, oh my gosh, that's their handwriting. Like, they touched that.
Yeah. There was Da Vinci. There's the Da Vinci sketches stuff in there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we got to see the King's Library, which is all encased in glass in the center of the library. It's this huge, like, pillar of books that takes up multiple stories. And only select people can go in there and check out books from the King's Library. And that's where they filmed Harry Potter, because it's these ancient books.
Yeah, it's like all, you know, 10,000 leather-bound, antique, rare print volumes. So yeah, that's a Hogwarts library.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool. We tried to go to Madame Tussauds. We walked a ways to get there. And as we approached... There's kind of like...
The wait line was like 4 hours. They have these different checkpoints where it tells you like one more hour till you're to the door, 2 more hours, 2.5. And we were like a good 2 hours from that 2.5 hour marker.
No, wasn't happening.
No. So we walked over to... actually, we took a series of public transport over to Little Venice. It's lovingly called that because there's all these riverboats in this one part of town in London.
That go on these canals. And so the riverboats are very different to us. You know, we are living on a boat currently. And the boats in the Puget Sound, northwest USA, are quite different than these riverboats. The riverboats are long and low and skinny. And it's just a trip to check them out. They're... Or some spots where, I don't know, like, if another boat starts coming your way, what in the world do you do? Like, it looks so crazy to pass by each other, and...
Yeah, and there's bridges, dark, dark tunnel bridges that you have to go through.
Yeah.
Like, you would need headlights to go go through.
And almost whole villages, you know, like, people living down on their boats. It's pretty cool. We, got some Korean food, introduced the kids to Korean barbecue.
Yeah. And you got a tattoo.
I did. I got a tattoo. I visited Cherry Blossom Tattoo in London, and I got a Triskel, which is a triple spiral design. The symbol is sometimes called the three legs or three-legged design. And this is actually the symbol that is carved into the entry stone to Newgrange, which is the ancient megalith monument that we visited in Ireland. And it had such a profound effect on me that I chose this as the symbol of this journey. So the last few big trips that we've taken, I've chosen to get a memento tattoo from the journey because the travel leaves such a mark on my soul that I figure... What better thing to do than actually have a mark left on my body to commemorate the experience? And so when we went to Iceland, last time Rachel and I received a symbol there, the Vegvísir. Last year when we went with the kids on our amazing race adventure, which if you're new to the show and you haven't checked that out, go back and check out the amazing race European adventure.
And our Iceland adventure.
And our Icelandic adventure. Yeah, there's full travel guides to both of those documenting our experiences and... cueing you in on great things to check out if you decide to do these travels. So last year on our Amazing Race European adventure, I decided to get a tattoo of a castle done in Budapest to commemorate that journey. And so now I have the Triskelion.
Yeah, and while you were getting tattooed, we were all taking our own space. We were relaxing. Merit, again, was watching cartoons. Liberty was making music videos in her room, and... I took a bath and was doing all my cleanses and just, you know, preparing to leave tomorrow. And so packing, you know, kind of cleaning the house. I had just gotten out of a long bath. I was, like, really doing some hydrotherapy. And so I was sitting at the kitchen table. Merit and I were going to play some Mancala. So I'm just in my towel, drinking some water, kind of relaxing after this bath. And I hear a woman say, hello, hello, and come in the front door, and we're all like, what in the heck? And then I stand up in my towel, soaking wet hair, and still kind of sweating a bit. And I see two men behind her, and they're, like, in the flat. And she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Did so-and-so tell you about the survey? And I was like, I have no idea. Like, I could not even understand what she was talking about. And then, like, instantly flashback to, like, a week ago.
A week ago, I had got a message from the host of this Airbnb saying, oh, hey, we have this survey scheduled on what will be your last day. I'm sorry if it poses any inconvenience. This is the only time we could do it. We couldn't reschedule.
And I
had passed it on. I was like, yeah, Rachel, so this is going to happen. And we're like, okay, cool, whatever.
Yeah, and we just, like, I think did it in passing. Like, maybe I was making dinner. I wasn't fully focused on what he was saying. And I was like, oh, yeah, whatever, survey.
And we're thinking, like, yeah, we might not even be there anyway.
Yeah,
like,
no problem. We'll be out and about. No big deal. And so, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, survey, shit. And so then she's like, shall we, you know, give you a few minutes? And I was like, yeah. Meanwhile, because we're, like, packing and we've just been living there for a couple of days, I mean, the house is exploded, you know? The dishes are, like, the sink is filled with dishes.
Stuff is everywhere.
Stuff is everywhere. My enema bag's in the bathroom.
And we're living out of backpacks. So we just clothing
is all over the floor. None of the beds are made. Mara is sleeping on a pull-out couch in the living room, so that thing's all exploded. We've been playing board games. I mean, it was a complete disaster. I was, like, absolutely mortified. My heart was just racing. And so she leaves, and I look around, and I'm just like, I can't do anything with this. There's nothing I can do to make any of this any better, like, in 5 minutes. So I just put on a little slip dress so that I was decently covered, and I just said, fuck it. And I went out there, and I said, you know, I'm like, dude, it's as good as it's gonna get. Liberty actually made her bed and put her clothes away, yeah. So the teenager looked the cleanest out of the whole family. And so, yeah, this woman and these two men come, and they walk through every single room, looking at every single thing.
And meanwhile,
the bathtub's still filled with dirty water. I mean, I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me.
Oh, and what's so funny is because we Rachel and I do this skin scrubbing protocol by Dr. Robert Kassar.
Oh, it's fabulous.
It's fabulous, so check that out. One of our episodes with Isaiah Fleesbach talks all about this, so it's called Modifying Your Bioterrain.
Yeah.
So check out that episode, learn more about it. But the protocol calls for using a scrub solution that the primary solvent is vodka.
Yeah, so it's a vodka-based scrub, and then you take a white rag and you scrub your body with this alkaline vodka solution. And so as soon as we got to the UK, I got all the ingredients and I made it because we're like super into the terrain modification, and I've been scrubbing myself every day. So yeah, I took this long bath, I scrubbed myself.
But then it's so funny because we don't even drink, and then here these people are like doing a survey of our flat, and there's a giant bottle of vodka sitting in the bathroom.
Right, with, like, a gross, dirty rag next to it.
Right.
Oh, like, it's so embarrassing.
There was a thought we were just, like, bathroom drinking.
Right. Well, and then I do coffee enemas, too, so then there's, like, coffee. It's like, they probably were just like, what are these people are crazy.
It looked crazy in there. And meanwhile, I had no idea that any of this was going on. This is what I came home to. It's like, hey, I got a tattoo. They're like, hey, strangers, we're in our messy place.
They were still there.
Oh, yeah, they were still there, yeah.
Yeah. So funny.
Oh, my gosh. It was a wild time in London. It was just amazing. It felt like it was almost nonstop. But yet, yeah, there were some restful times, too. It was nice.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So thanks for joining us on our trip.
So we have a cab coming early in the morning.
Yeah, and we're just so thankful that we get to share these experiences with all of you, and, you know, hopefully it brings some inspiration and lets you know that it's easy to travel with kids, it's easy to get out of your comfort zone, and there's also some challenges and some growth opportunities. And, every time I travel, it always brings greater perspective about the life that I'm living. You know, I'm already thinking about things that I want to incorporate into my life from what I've experienced on this trip and changes that need to take place. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, when we get home, this, all's got to change, that's got to go. Yeah, and I feel like I really get to step into who I really am and who I desire to be because I'm able to, like, take a break from my life. You know, when you travel, you get to, like, try on someone else's life almost, or try on different experiences and really grow.
Yeah, for sure. So we've grown a lot as a family, and we hope that you've enjoyed traveling along with us. If this was the first one you checked out, make sure to go back, check out the whole series. Yeah, like we say, not only is it about sharing our family's experience, but also it's just our travel guide. So these are awesome things that we checked out, we chose to visit while we were in these locations. Good recommendations for you to check out as well if you decide to go to any of these places that we went. We look forward to doing more of these in the future. Stay tuned for the regular Ecstatic Existence podcast to come back, which is interviews with leaders in health, wellness, and spirituality from around the world, as well as Rachel and my fantastic insight and input.
This life is such an adventure.
So, we love you.
Toodles!
Full donkey kick horizontal, like just sideways. Horizontal, like just sideways. 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 Sideways.